today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
So those of us that are connected with God, God wants you to know, you can't just grow to be a tree. It is the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost that helps you to come through the soil and then rise up to be all that you can be. Stop trying to be all that you can be without the name of Jesus, because it is in the name of Jesus and his power that brought him from the soil and caused him to be the biggest tree in the land. We need to understand the same thing is necessary for you to be the best in the land as well.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, I Shall Not Be Moved. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3.
In the book of Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 3, I'll read it in your hearing. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness or despair. Here's the word. They will be called oaks of righteousness. We preached it this morning at 8. And a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Can the church say amen? Amen. Come on, you can say amen. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I'm ministering a message called Reclaim Delight. In other words, life has a way of snatching your joy away, snatching your smile, snatching away your happiness. We want to reclaim that and walk in it. Today's message in our late service is entitled, I Shall Not Be Moved. Say it with me. I shall not be moved. Glory to God. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display, for the brilliance, for the foliage of his splendor. I shall not be moved. Glory to God. Father, I give you praise and thanks for this message. I yield in your hands. This people, Lord God, needs a word from you. Thank you for exchanging the beauty for the ash, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But help us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord for your splendor, for your glory. So think through my mind, speak through my lips, and we will give you praise. Prepare our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our spirit to contain this word, and we will give you glory and praise again for your brilliance and your splendor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you all, minstrels, and thank you, the people of God. I rambled a lot today, and I pray that you would keep me in your prayer. I struggle like everybody else, and I try to be real with you when I talk to you versus trying to be a fabricated preacher and just say what people want to hear. I can do that. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 5. I can do that. I can work it that way. But I want to be natural with you because we're dealing with issues in our community. And I'm dealing with them too. I don't get sleep all night. I know what it's like, and I want you to know it. And I'm trying to preach through it. So help me to preach by saying amen. Why does the Bible speak so many times about tree metaphors? I can go through a litany of scriptures and bring in trees. I just shared with you subject of the message, I shall not be moved, which I'm drawing right out of Isaiah 61, and they will be called oaks of righteousness. I strongly recommend you listen to this morning's message about the oak and what it symbolizes. But why does the Bible have so many tree metaphors? I'm thinking out of Jeremiah 17, but also out of Psalm 1. And you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Many of us, and when we look, if we were to look at each other, we want to mimic people or icons. But he didn't say that in the scripture. You will be not like Instagram or IG or someone's photo. You're not like something fabricated to make you look better. But he says, when you look for metaphors, stop looking for modern technology when you're looking for a pattern. God wants you to go all the way back to a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaves will not wither, and whatever it does will prosper. I can't trust IG. I just saw Prince walking down the hallway. And I saw Whitney Houston walking down the hallway, and Bob Marley walking down the hallway, and Michael Jackson strutting like they were being models in modern day society. All of them are gone on. But we actually can draw them up, and IG can make them look like they're sitting in the midst of us. And we're glorifying the dead. The dead is in the midst of us. Talking about walking dead. We don't really realize how deep it is. Because right now you can draw up people who've passed on. Their voices are stronger than the word. Glory to God, that will never pass away. And we've got to get back to the metaphors that the scripture lays out for us. Not individuals or people. Not American idols, not even education and some of the things that pulls us back to where we used to be. We got to get to the point where we're saying what God says, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. The metaphor is laid out in the scripture because the tree is like a spine. Glory to God. It's like a spine. And if I break your spine, I can immobilize you, or I can stop you from being mobile. I can hinder you from growing and moving. Some people get mad. Man, slap me in the face. I can slap you in the face. You can beat me up, kill me. But if I break your spine, you won't be able to do anything. And this is what's happening. The enemy is snatching out the spine or the structure of families, snatching out the spine or the structure of churches and communities and businesses and organizations while we're sitting around. We got to get back to making sure we protect that which matters most. The worst thing you can do to a tree is to cut it down. Glory to God, especially before it is able to produce what God has called for it to produce. He has designed in us a love of stories and word pictures, stories and word pictures and parables and poetry right here in the scripture. Because it says, and they will be called oaks of righteousness. It's like poetry, a planting of the Lord. It's a metaphor, a picture that he wants you to see. The display of his splendor. We don't talk like that now. We go straight for the gusto. We go straight at it. Chivalry has been lost in the midst of us. But God wants you to see poetry when you're dealing with him. He wants you to see design. He wants you to be inspired with splendor. And when you look at nature, you can see splendor. I'm glad God has put a tree next to me. Glory to God. A pillar next to me that he wants me to pattern. And that's why fathers are so important, because fathers should be the pillar in the family to make sure shade is covered. Make sure shade is there. Make sure everybody can rest when you're on the scene, glory to God. And that's why I'm here in the ministry. I'm not the great shepherd, but my job is to make sure that some type of structure is in the house of the Lord. And fathers must mimic that in the home. Make sure there's structure in the home. If you're silent, there is no structure. If you're quiet, you can't get what you need to get. You've got to speak to the issue and model what God wants you to model. And so you see word pictures and poetry right here in the scripture. Metaphors that God wants us to embrace. Write it down. Your life is a metaphor of a tree. Your life is a metaphor of a tree. Now, in the creation, Genesis chapter 1, God calls vegetation to come forth, or trees to manifest, on the third day. Glory to God. And it's amazing to me that you would see them break forth from the soil on the third day of the reconstruction of the world. This is right here in Genesis chapter 1, on the third day, as it relates to third day ministry, three-dimensional ministry. It represents resurrection. Yes. Glory to God. Third day represents resurrection, and you shall be like a tree. In other words, I'm going to cause you to come forth on the third day, which is a symbol of resurrection power. So those of us that are connected with God, God wants you to know, you can't just grow to be a tree. It is the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost that helps you to come through the soil and then rise up to be all that you can be. Stop trying to be all that you can be without the name of Jesus, because it is in the name of Jesus and his power that brought him from the soil and caused him to be the biggest tree in the land. We need to understand the same thing is necessary for you to be the best in the land as well. That's what I love about Nebuchadnezzar. When he came to his senses, the Bible says he had a dream, glory to God. And Daniel interpreted the dream that the big Nebuchadnezzar or a tree would be cut, but there was a stump, and that stump was going to rise up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People try to cut the name of Jesus down, and they try to make it marginalized to a stump. But Daniel said the stump will rise up from the soil and become the largest in the land. Glory to God. And because God reconstructed the earth, and on the third day he allowed trees to come out of the soil, you must see resurrection power. And I'm decreeing and declaring, in 3 days you're going to begin to sense a new power in your life. You want to quit today, but if you give God 3 days, by this time on Wednesday, you're going to sense more strength. You're going to sense more dirt. You're going to sense more power. You're going to come up out of the soil. If you don't quit today, in 3 days, you're going to grow. Glory to God. That which making you back up is going to cause you to push forward if you can just last another 3 days. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you better shake yourself and stop talking about I can't handle it. God wants you to grow. Oh, my God. Bless his name. Good God from Zion. Bump your neighbor and say, just 3 more days. Boom! You mean I got 3 days to work with it? Yes! I got 3 days and God's gonna move? Yes! I got 3 days to be hidden? Yes! Nobody know what I'm going through. Stick with it for another 3 days. Because in 3 days, God's about to show you how powerful he is. In 3 days, you're going to start sensing that you weren't supposed to be in the grave forever. In 3 days, you're going to rise up out of this soil. In 3 days, God's going to let you understand that he was with you all the time. Oh, my God. Touch 3 people and say, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. 3 days, they're going to call you about that job. In 3 days, you're going to get a better report from the doctor. In 3 days, things going to open up. Abatha, be open. God spoke trees into existence on the third day. And I'm pronouncing the growth and expansion of God's people in 3 days. Glory to God. You won't be totally grown, but you shall come forth. Glory to God. All of that undersoil work, God's going to allow it to be revealed. Glory to God. You've been hidden for way too long, but in 3 days, you're going to break through the soil. Everybody that thought you were dead, no, I wasn't dead. I was being cultivated. I was growing. I was getting my head together. I took a setback, but God is working in my life. Let God do it. He spoke it into existence in 3 days. Glory to God. That means variety was about to be revealed. Because the vegetation is so different. It's like a bouquet. Variety was revealed in 3 days. I'm speaking to somebody. Glory to God. Including many fruit-bearing trees. So I preached about the oak, but I need to broaden that. Variety is coming. You're bigger than what you settle for. I don't know. You're bigger than what you settle for. You sold it for pennies, but you're worth much more. Oh, my God. Variety is coming. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in front of you. But if you don't know that, you'll be looking behind trying to drive. And that's why you're rolling in the ditch. Tell me to preach. I'm going to preach. I need to take my time. And we're not to get you. We need to get your head right. If you can get your head out of the soil, your whole body will come forth. You've been laying in that little pit, that little grave too much. Your head is all back there. But if I can get your head out, if I can get your mind out, the rest of you will follow. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Fruit bearing. Variety. Out of that, when you take dominion over that which can bring forth fruit and that which has variety or colors, and you blend it all together, we create what we call perfume. Anytime you squirt something on you, it means variety was taking dominion over and fruit was taking dominion over. And when you crush it, it creates scent. Thank you, Lord. And I'm breathing on you by the Holy Ghost. New scent is coming to you. A special scent is coming to you that will become more attractive. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to know that he didn't make a mistake when he met you. And you don't have to settle for pennies. Glory to God. So he's going to squirt some of his perfume on you. So you can start saying, I feel better about myself. Glory to God. I got to do this for myself. And God's going to make me feel better about myself. No more bad days in my mind. No more thinking that I ain't gonna make it. No more needing somebody else to affirm you. Affirm yourself. God. A new scent is coming. So come for winds. and breathe, blow through this garden and capture the spices and the fruits and the scents that are there, and let it go into the hands and the nose and the nostrils of your people so they can feel better about themselves, about the new day that's coming. Glory to God. I can preach all day, but if you don't feel better about yourself, you'll need external things to make you feel better when God wants you to know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I shall not be moved. Glory to God. When God placed humans in the garden, they were surrounded by vegetation. Why would that be the first thing you see in the Garden of Eden? No buildings, no large government buildings, no schools, none of that. None of the things we go after. No big houses, fruit-bearing trees, oaks. Ah, Jesus help me. So on the third day, he caused vegetation. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, and out of the ground the Lord formed, out of the ground God made a spring up, made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Glory to God. You got to understand that God put those things in the garden first. Then he formed the man, but he wanted him to walk through a garden and look at all of these trees. We get our eyes off of nature and we start looking for nature to feel us. When God wants you to look at nature and get a semblance of where he's trying to take you, he wants your spine right. The tree is not growing up leaning to the left. You're not supposed to be leaning to the left when you worship. You need to be straight up when you worship. When you deal with me or another man, you're not supposed to be leaning to the right or the left. You're supposed to be straight up when you deal with me. And when you release a fragrance, it should be something sweet and not offensive. Glory to God. What do people sense when they got to deal with your attitude? When they get around you and they smell your attitude, what did they pick up? Something offensive or something sweet that's attractive? Glory to God. God is trying to get the man to walk in there to see that as you move in your life, you want to carry a fragrance with you. You want to bring forth fruit in your life. You want to be straight when you deal with people. You want to grow tall, internal tallness. You want to have a root system, man. Because if you don't, the first time a wind blow, you're going to back up and give up. And we got a whole lot of people that's giving up every day. But who's going to stand? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You began your humanity surrounded by trees. I shall not be moved. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16a through 17, it says that God then told the man, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Even in the midst of the trees, he still say there are things that I reserve for myself. You can have it all, but this right here don't touch. You can have all of this, but this right here you don't touch. You can have all of it, but this right here you don't touch. What is he trying to show you? Disciplines and obedience. He's teaching out of a garden. Out of a garden, he's teaching laws and rules and regulations. And we should be able to go back to gardens and get some information about God. I'm going to give you all of this. Here's 9, 10 trees, but this one I don't want you to touch. And I'm not going to stop you from touching. I'm not going to guard it. I want you to use your own intellect and your mind and say, if he say don't touch it, then I'm not going to touch it. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. because some things are attractive. It's not that God don't want you to have it, but not right now. It's not that he's trying to kill you, but not right now. Why do we wait until you're 16 before we give you a driver's license? Because we believe at 16, you can then be mature enough to get behind a wheel. We've seen it before when we had horse and buggies. A 14-year-old getting behind a horse would just start running it until it dies. So when we have horsepower, we believe by the time you're 16, if you're trained, you can get behind all of that horsepower and not drive it into the ditch. You will take your time and follow obedience in the signs and get to your destination safely. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. So we do this because we understand you mature more when you grow. All from a garden. But you want to violate the promise and say, God, I want my stuff now. And like the prodigal son, you won't even come to yourself until it's all spent. And you're in a hog pen somewhere, and then the hog pen has to make you come to your senses. God wants to set you free from hog pen experiences. If you'll stick with your garden long enough to grow, you won't have to go to the hog pen to learn. Let me teach you while you're in the garden. This is boring. I don't like it. You better get your head together. You got your whole life ahead of you.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, I Shall Not Be Moved, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2408-1811. That's reference number 2408-1811.
There is still time to register for the Financial IQ free in-person seminar this Saturday, August 31st at 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Learn how to minimize taxes and protect your family's future. Seating is limited, so scan the QR code in the foyer or use our mobile app or website to secure your spot.
Ladies, registration is open for Awaken's 19th Annual Women's Conference, Expectancy, Expect Greater, at Truth Reveal on Friday and Saturday, September 27th and 28th. Hotel accommodations are available at Hampton Inn and Suites off Palm Bay Road. Use group code EWC to reserve your room by Friday, September 13th. Don't miss out. Register for this dynamic event by using the Truth Reveal mobile app, visiting our website, or scanning the QR code in the foyer to join us for a weekend filled with inspiration and empowerment.
Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high-energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
We